A reading from the Book of Wisdom. The night of the Passover was known beforehand to our fathers, that with sure knowledge of the oaths in which they put their faith, they might have courage. Your people awaited the salvation of the just and the destruction of their foes. For when you punished our adversaries, in this you glorified us whom you had summoned. For in secret, the holy children of the good were offering sacrifice and putting into effect with one accord the divine institution. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, faith is the realization of what is hoped for, an evidence of things not seen. Because of it, the ancients were well attested. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out, not knowing where he was to go. By faith, he sojourned in the promised land as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and maker is God. By faith, He received power to generate, even though he was past the normal age, and Sarah herself was sterile. For he thought that the one who had made the promise was trustworthy. So it was that there came forth from one man, himself as good as dead, descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sands on the seashore. All these died in faith. They did not receive what had been promised, but saw it and greeted it from afar, and acknowledged themselves to be strangers and aliens on earth. For those who speak thus show that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had come, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better homeland, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise was ready to offer his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac, descendants shall bear your name." He reasoned that God was able to raise even from the dead, and he received Isaac back as a symbol. The word of the Lord.
Be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have the servants recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. When I was a freshman in college, I thought I was pretty hot stuff. I got there and I had really no trouble with high school classes at all. And I got to what they call CTI 100. It's kind of like Gen 100 in other classes, but they have fancy names for it. It was called the Responsible Self. I thought it was just going to be an easy throwaway class. So when it came time for my first essay, I decided that I would wait until midnight, the night before, to write my essay, thinking, I've had such a cakewalk my whole life with academic work. What's going to change in college? So I started at midnight. It was due at 8 a.m. when I went to class. And, you know, wrote the paper out. Had kind of a harder time than I thought it would. It was a very philosophical type of question, which I wasn't used to. But anyway, I wrote it. Thought I did pretty good. Turned it in. Came back in a week or so. And these were the days when you had to wait to receive a grade in class. You didn't just sit there and refresh your phone waiting for the professor to upload the grade to, I don't think we even had to, no, I still think we had to turn it in on the internet to make sure we didn't plagiarize. Anyway, that's not an important part of the homily. But I was sitting there in my desk, and you know, it's like a film where the teacher's going out and handing out papers, and mine like slow motion slams down on my desk, and I'm still got my chest stuck out, and I open it up, and it says a D plus. And, you know, I felt sick because that's the lowest grade I think that I'd ever gotten. Pause on that story for a second. We put things off in life. We say things like, procrastinators unite tomorrow. We say things like, why do today what you can easily do tomorrow? I mean, I've been a procrastinator a good part of my life. I'm not really anymore, thanks be to God. Sometimes I am, you know, that's just part of life. That's why we have that confessional box in the back there for our sins and for our imperfections. We put things off. One of the things that I think a lot of us put off is saying that kind thing to somebody that we've struggled with, or to make up with a neighbor that we've kind of fallen into a bad relationship with. Or when somebody's dying and we hold back from saying that thing that's really on our heart that we want to say. That happened to me recently. I went to the Holy Land a couple weeks ago, or actually I got back last week, and there was somebody who was dying, not my family or friend, but a parishioner I knew. And I was like, well, I can visit her when I get back. She died when I was gone. Couldn't even go to the funeral. So we don't want to live with those kind of regrets in our life, but we do put things off. We put things off. And the message from our gospel today is that we don't want to put things off. There's three different ways to read our gospel today. The first way to read it is in saying that we have to be ready for Jesus coming back at the end of time. Which sometimes it feels like we're at the end of times. Kind of be nice. Come on, Jesus, we're ready for you to come back and set things right. You can read it like it's an end times type of story. You can read it like it's a when we die type of story. Jesus is warning us for when we die. He's talking about when the master comes back and us being prepared. So we can think of it end times. We can think about it the end of our times. But there's yet a third way to read it, and that's the one I want to suggest that we use today. That's the way that we read the gospel today. And that third way is God wants to come back into our life, so to speak, in the midst of our life. There might be some, we say our prayers, we go to Mass on Sunday, we try to live a decently Christian life, but there are times in our life where God comes in and makes a stronger entrance into our life. And I think that that's what we want to be ready for. It might not be on our deathbed. It might not be the end times, but he might come on some Tuesday afternoon when we're going for a walk. And those are the types of times that I think we want to be ready for our Lord. Because, as our gospel says, there are consequences for those who aren't ready for the Master's coming back. That person who says, I have time, I can relax, eat, drink, be merry. This connects with last week's gospel as well. But he started beating the servants. He got drunk. He said, oh, the master's going to be a while, so I can live my life the way that I want to live it in the meantime. Well, it says in the gospel literally that he's cut into pieces and that he's given a severe beating. And all that's to say is, of course, you know, our Lord is a God of love and mercy if we repent, if we're ready. So I think the message that we have for today is God is put off when we put him off. God is put off when we put him off. And he's put off when we put off the things of God, when we put off the things that pertain to him. And those things are specifically prayer and charity. Prayer, which is the essence of the love of God, and charity, which is the essence of the love of our neighbors, the love of our fellow man and fellow woman. So, there's, I think, two things that can happen when we hear a gospel like this. We hear it, we take it in, we believe it, and we want to make a huge change in our life. We want to take a complete 180. We want to completely start over. And some of us might have that movement in our hearts. But I think for the great majority of us is that we need to take this gospel and let it motivate us to take small steps. So I want to challenge you through the rest of this Mass to ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill your heart in one of those moments of silence or in the Eucharistic prayer or in that time after communion, to ask the Holy Spirit to speak in your heart and say, inspire in me some baby step that will make me ready for when you want to come into my life, which could be at any moment, Lord. The other thing I want you to pray for is say, Holy Spirit, I give you full permission to come and take complete control of my life. You have full permission to do what you want. I'm tired of holding back. I'm tired of living a lukewarm life. You have full permission. Come, Holy Spirit, take control of my life. Those are the two prayers that I'd like. So if you're looking for some ideas on goals, here's one. I was recently reminded of this famous speaker, Larry Richards. Maybe some of you have heard of him, Father Larry Richards. He's kind of an in-your-face type of speaker, not necessarily my style most of the time, but he really has an impact on his listeners. And he has one phrase he has lots of phrases, but he has one phrase, one kind of maxim for living life that really spoke to me. He said, no Bible, no breakfast, no Bible, no bed. So I want to suggest to you that whatever goal that the Holy Spirit inspires in your heart, make it something that you can achieve tonight or today, sometime throughout this day, and tomorrow. So often we make goals to say, dear God, for the rest of my life, I'm going to do 2 holy hours a day. I really feel inspired. I'm going to do 2 holy hours every day for the rest of my life. And then when 3 days in, we fail at that goal, we feel really bad. So I want to suggest that we make a goal that we can achieve today and or tomorrow. And that's why this no breakfast or no Bible, no breakfast, no Bible, no bed, I think, can be something that we can put into effect today. When you get home from Mass, you can take your Bible, you can put it on your pillow. I'd say put it on your nightstand, but that's pretty easy to just ignore. But if it's on your pillow, you have to like take it off your pillow to even get into bed. So that could be something in just 2 or 3 minutes. I'm not saying you have to read an entire book of the Bible. Just 2 or 3 minutes. Read a page. Read a page or read one of the 4 Gospels. Just read one page before you go to bed tonight. And then when you wake up tomorrow morning, well, then maybe you have it on your nightstand and read another page. I don't know. The Holy Spirit has some plan for you. He wants to speak in your heart. I promise you that he wants to speak in your heart. You're not necessarily going to hear a voice, but he's going to move your conscience. Give him permission to move your conscience. And if you're not sure, then say, Holy Spirit, if you're all powerful, I need you to be bold in my life. And so let's be bold in our prayers to him. The reason why I think baby steps are so powerful is because, going back to my story at the beginning about William Jewell, about my time in school, is I learned really quickly that putting things off to the end and doing like 4 or 5 hours of really intense work in a given situation isn't always the best strategy. Sometimes It's best to break things up into bite-sized, small pieces, whether it's with studies, whether it's with our spiritual life, whether it's with our work, whatever it may be. It's better to break things up into tiny little goals. And that's what I learned. I would set a timer literally on my phone and ended up graduating with honors at college. You know, I didn't have perfect grades like I did in high school, so I was humbled. Thanks be to God, He humbled me along the way in my college journey. But that's what we want to do. We want to break down our spiritual life into small goals so that we are ready for whenever the Lord wants to break into our life. Let's not put off the Lord anymore. Let's put Him in the center of our life. Let's put the things of God as number one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand. I believe in one God,
the Father the Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ,
the only begotten Son of God,
born of the Father before all ages,
God from God, light from light,
true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, He came down from heaven. And by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
He will come again
in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters, let us now turn to the Almighty God with these prayers of intercession.
For the Pope, the bishops, all priests and deacons who serve and lead the household of faith, may they be strengthened in their call and faithful in their obedience. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the powerful leaders of nations, that they may remember that they are still servants of a divine master whose law upholds justice, life, and morality. We pray to the Lord.
Lord,
that we may be vigilant and ready with lighted lamps to welcome the Lord when He returns. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who are suffering, who are sick or grieving, who are waiting for God to be their help and their shield, that the eyes of the Lord may be upon them for grace and healing. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That courts and judges may uphold above all the sanctity of all life, that they may be prepared to give an account of their service when the Lord comes. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all the souls of our departed loved ones, and for all the special intentions of the parishioners of St. Robert Bellarmine, for whom this Mass is offered. We pray to the Lord.
Gracious Father, we know how much You love us, and we want to thank You for that. We also want to thank You for hearing and answering our prayers, but also for moving our hearts that we may pray better, that we may pray more in line with Your will. Hear these prayers, and hear those prayers which are in the depths of our hearts. And we ask all this through Christ our Lord.
Please join us in our hymn of preparation, Save Us, O Lord. The music can be found on page 528 of your hymnal, number 528.
Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
The Lord accepts the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good, the good of all his holy church.
Be pleased, O Lord, to accept the offerings of your church, for in your mercy you have given them to be offered, and by your power you transform them into the mystery of our salvation. Through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For you so loved the world that in your mercy you sent us the Redeemer to live like us in all things but sin.